Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Matt Wells at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's programme, peacekeepers in South Sudan strive to make areas just outside protection of civilian sites safer for women. We have a special report from the capital, Juba, and how space technology speeds up sustainable development. But first, safe spaces for Rohingya women and girls seeking sanctuary in Myanmar are already full to capacity. That's the first-hand account of Priya Marwa, Humanitarian Response Coordinator for the United Nations Population Fund, UNFPA, in Bangladesh, who's helping create safe spaces for refugee survivors of gender-based violence. UNFPA estimates that over half of the Rohingya refugees are women, with approximately 24,000 of them pregnant or breastfeeding. All are vulnerable to rape and sexual assault. Natalie Hutchison spoke with Ms. Marwa about the mental health implications for survivors of such horrific acts.
Our women-friendly spaces are literally running over capacity because of the need that these women and girls are expressing in terms of health services, safe shelter, food, clothing, basic clothing. Many of them are pregnant, they're breastfeeding, they need referrals. They have lived through real horrors, and that is really what's coming through in their stories. There are thousands of them on the roadsides, in makeshift shelters, in refugee camps.
What are some of the mental health implications of gender-based violence?
These women and girls are completely traumatized. I can't stress the need enough. It's really difficult to hear their stories. I've met survivors myself. The fact that they've fled, they haven't eaten in days, they arrive to our safe spaces or our reproductive health mobile camps completely exhausted, they look tired, they are depressed, they feel like they have no hope, no future. I think the mental health implications are going to last. Psychosocial support is also the need of the hour, as much as all the other basic necessities always are.
What is the link between reproductive health of these women and girls and gender-based violence? And do you think it's unique to this particular crisis?
A clear link for us is clinical management of rape. We have to provide the survivors of sexual violence specific treatment. We have to make sure that pregnant women, breastfeeding mothers also have the care and the necessary support. Many of these pregnant women and breastfeeding mothers who are coming to our reproductive health sites, and they fled and walked for days. The other day I met a woman who had delivered on the roadside, had no clothes.
Given the scale of the crisis, do you think that UNFPA is able to keep up with the demand for assistance?
The needs are staggering high, and I think there is an appeal or a humanitarian response plan that is currently under development by all of the agencies in close collaboration with the government. And I think we're trying to do the best we can to try and cover all the gaps. We definitely need more actors on the ground. There have been a lot of NGOs who've come to our health and protection or, you know, gender-based violence-related meetings. I feel that the UN is prepared to respond to the crises as much as we can, and we are getting additional actors on the ground, which is again desperately needed. This is a crisis where I have seen so many vulnerable women and girls like I've never seen before. I think it's important to communicate with these communities, to learn of their needs, to respond, but it's also important to make sure that our services are coordinated, that we try to do them jointly, and that we try to provide them as fast as possible and scale up.
Security operations conducted by UN police or UNPOL in South Sudan around sites set up to protect civilians are helping to create more security for women, according to a senior police officer. The UN peacekeeping operation, UNMISS, has provided sanctuary to some 213,000 people in protection of civilian or POC sites around the conflict-affected country. Women who live in the sites have complained of being harassed and in some cases raped by gangs of men outside the camps. Daniel Dickinson reports from Juba on efforts to reduce the harassment.
A group of women walk outside a UN protection site in South Sudan's capital, Juba. One woman who didn't want to give her name said it was unsafe to leave the camp known as POC3.
I am not at ease. Whenever something happens, I jump and run.
With some 38,000 residents, POC3 is the size of a small town. And, perhaps not surprisingly, like any other town, there's the risk of criminal activity. Today, UN police officers are setting out to question young men in an area called Mango Tree on a densely vegetated hill just outside the camp. They're suspected of belonging to a criminal gang. The ground commander is the Namibian police officer, Deputy Commissioner Naftal Sakaria.
The women used this route that passed through here to go collect firewood. There were reports of harassment and robbery and in the past even rape. So it is important that we check the area to make sure that there is no weapons and to warn them that we are aware of activities that is taking place, and if it's continue, we will next time take an action. We round them up and hand them over to local authority.
Wait, don't resist, okay? Walk together.
Nine young men are rounded up and questioned. One denies any involvement in a gang.
I don't know anything about this. Yes, I come this morning to wash my clothes here. Even me, if I see anything, I can tell you.
No weapons or other incriminating evidence are found, and the men are free to leave. Major Fernanda Santos is an UNPOL officer from Brazil. She says the people living in the camps appreciate the search operations.
They are happy because the police is doing their job, and the Ethiopian battalion, Chinese battalion as well, are doing their job. So they're very happy that we're here, assuring that they are safe. Visibility is a great part of the police work, so not only engaging the community in awareness, but also showing that we are here 24/7. So that's bring them more safety, more security, the sense of security.
The searches are key to maintaining the civilian nature of the protection sites, and they build confidence outside the camps so that displaced people feel secure enough to return home and lead productive lives. Daniel Dickinson in Juba, South Sudan.
Technology built to explore the stars is also having a dramatic impact in the more down-to-earth pursuit of the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals. That's according to the director of the UN Office for Outer Space Affairs, UNUSA, Simonetta Di Pippo, who was in Australia at the end of September to attend the International Astronautical Congress. The Australian government announced that same week that it's to launch its own space agency due to the rapid growth of the space industry and related technologies. Julia Dean in the Australian capital Canberra asked Mr. DePeople how UNUSA's expertise could be put to use by developing countries with no space program of their own.
We really work to try to bring the benefits of space to humankind, looking in particular to developing countries. And the reason is that space is really a very good tool for addressing the Sustainable Development Goals and try to help member states to fulfill them.
How do they help the Sustainable Development Goals?
Well, for example, I can make a lot of examples. Sustainable Development Goal number 4, which is quality education. Our core activity is in capacity building. So we really help a lot in since now 50 years to bring all the member states on the same page, trying to help them in understanding how they can use space-based data and infrastructure to improve the quality of life of their citizens.
So this is obviously a global audience that we're speaking with and to. What would you say to the young women? Would you say, go for it, go into the space industry?
I believe that each of us has to found her own path. And my experience is that there is always someone in your life telling you what you have to do and telling you that science is very difficult, STEM education, why you have to do that, and then you're going to get in marriage and then you have a family, how you can manage your work-life balance properly. All of us, we are in this situation, I believe. But my advice is that each of us, and mainly the girls, they have to study a lot. They have to be committed. They have to listen to themselves only. Clearly collect all the information, all the suggestions, all the advices. But then the final decisions must be your own decision. And I do believe that there is nothing that we can do. A diversity approach in the workforce is key. But it comes natural if we avoid bias and we select the best talent every time.
Simonetta Di Pippo talking there to Julia Dean. Well, you've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programmes at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook under UN Radio and on Twitter under UN_News_Centre. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matt Wells.